May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn 162. May we sing with reverence and with the prayerful hope that these blessings may be ours. When on my beloved I gaze, so dazzling his beauties appear, his charm so transcendently blaze, the sight is too melting to bear. When from my own vileness I turn to Jesus exposed on the tree, with shame and with wonder I burn to think what he suffered for me. Hymn 162.
Thank you. Let's read together from the Holy Word of God, from the Gospel according to Matthew, part of chapter 27 and chapter 28. The Gospel according to Matthew, from chapter 27, commencing at verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly, this was the Son of God. And many women were there, beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, sitting over against the sepulchre. Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, After 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, He is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, Ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as ye can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city, and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders, and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night, and stole him away while we slept. And if it's come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money, and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless to our souls the reading of his own holy word, and help us now as we would come before him in prayer. Most holy and almighty and eternal Lord God, teach us now to pray. Come by thy Spirit and do breathe that breath of living prayer into our hearts. Oh, how dependent we are upon thee. I would, but cannot pray, for Satan meets me when I try, and frights my soul away. Again, as we sometimes sing, what various hindrances we meet in coming to thy mercy seat. And we find it to be so. Satan hinders us. The flesh hinders us. Unbelief hinders us. The world, the cares of the world hinder us. Or our wanderings, our backslidings, so hinder us. presumption hinders us. But Lord, in thy great mercy and compassion, do draw us. Oh, draw us with thy loving kindness. Draw us with thy irresistible grace. Oh, draw us unto thyself, Lord Jesus. Draw me, we will run after thee. And what a wonderful mercy if on this Lord's Day morning, as we are each found in the house of God, the house of prayer, thine earthly courts, each one being granted that measure of health and strength and brought safely here. Oh, what a wonderful mercy if we have been drawn. How solemn if we have only come out of a sense of duty. Oh, how solemn if we have only come to make a mere profession of religion. Oh, how solemn if we have come unconcerned, if we have come carelessly, indifferently, if in our hearts we'd rather be somewhere else. Oh, Lord, have mercy upon any who have come thus. Lord, could it please thee to touch their hearts, to awaken them. Oh, Lord, have mercy. But, oh, Lord, to those who have been drawn, drawn to the feet of Jesus, drawn to the Word of God, drawn to the throne of grace, oh, drawn that they might so hear thy voice and see thy face, oh, drawn even to the cross of Christ, as we have been singing, as we have been reading, oh, the cross of Christ, where Jesus suffered, where he bled, where he groaned, where he died, died to put away sin. Oh, grant us faith to behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. But over that saving, personal application of the precious blood, cleansing us from all our sins. Lord, those who have been drawn here this morning have come as sinners. They know themselves sinners. Oh, they know something of the plague of their own hearts. They would come in confession. They would be found with that godly sorrow which worketh repentance. Oh, they come with all their sins and all their guilt and all their shame, with all their defilements and pollutions. But oh, they come seeking Jesus. They come being drawn to him, are drawn to that fountain opened for sin and for uncleanness. Oh, they come seeking to know him whom to know is life eternal. Oh, they come seeking to know their sins forgiven, their iniquities pardoned, their transgressions covered over. Oh, they come as sheep coming to the shepherd, longing to hear his voice. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Oh, they come seeking that manifestation, that revelation of the Lord Jesus to their souls. Oh, they come, drawn by the cords of love, by the bands of a man. Oh, they come, drawn to the Lord Jesus in their felt need of him, in their longing to know him. Lord, bless such souls. Oh, what a wonderful thing, ere the end of this service, that it might, as it were, be said by the Lord Jesus, who touched me? My faith would lay her hand on that dear head of thine, while like a penitent I stand and there confess my crimes. Who touched me? Oh, that there might be some, as that dear woman with the issue of blood, who must venture in faith and press through that great crowd and touch but the hem of his garment, believing that she would be made whole, believing that she would receive that virtue, that healing virtue. She was drawn. Oh, she came tremblingly. She came longingly. She came with that great exercise and burden. But she came because she was drawn. Oh, draw sinners unto thyself. Who touched me? Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Oh Lord, bless each soul, each longing soul, each burdened soul, each praying soul, each hungering soul, each thirsting soul. Oh Lord, do bless each one. Attend to every case. Oh, here is something so wonderful, so blessed, that thou art able to meet the needs of each one, the cases of each one, the conditions of each one. Thou art able to suit thy word unto each and every one present, in all that they may stand in need of, those with spiritual needs, those with providential needs. O Lord, those who feel so troubled, in soul trouble, so burdened, so cast down, so dejected. Those who need a touch, who need a token, who need a lift. Oh, who need a blessing, who need a portion, who need a crumb. Those who need thy appearing. Those who need thy help, thy wisdom, thy strength. Those who need thee to undertake. Those who need thee to perform. Those who need thee to fulfill, those who need thee, Lord, to intervene in matters in their lives, in their circumstances. Or perhaps they have proved that vain is the help of man. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And Lord, we have read in thy word at least two of thy wonderful promises. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And Lord, we sometimes sing, with heaven and earth at his command, he waits to answer prayer. Oh, what an encouragement to pray without ceasing. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Ah, we ought always to pray, Lord, but we do not. We fail, we come short. Lord, forgive us. What stirring up we need. Oh, Lord, how often we're found fainting through our weakness, our insufficiency, or our helplessness. Oh, Lord, grant us that prayer, looking to Thee, Thee to appear, Thee to perform, and then that other wonderful promise. And lo, I am with you always. As the apostle in the Hebrews writes, for he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Oh, how often in our pilgrimage we feel to be forsaken. We feel to be forgotten. And oh Lord, increase our faith to believe thy word, thy precious word of promise. Scatter all our unbelief. Oh, could I but believe, then all would easy be. I would but cannot, Lord, relieve. My help must come from thee. So, Lord, remember each one gathered here this morning. Remember the dear little ones, the babes, the children, and the young people also growing up into life. Lord, be round about them. Watch over and keep them. Might it please thee to implant thy holy fear deep into their hearts? Oh, that it might prove to be, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. Wonderful thing to receive a natural education. Wonderful thing to be taught concerning the things of God, the word of God, the ways of God, the truths of God, the doctrine of Christ. Oh, the Lord, infinitely better to be taught of God. Oh, when the Lord takes a sinner in hand, oh, for I am the Lord that teacheth thee to profit. And who teacheth like thee? Oh, Lord, teach your little ones, teach your young people. Oh, take them in hand. Oh, teach them their need of salvation, their need to be saved. Oh, teach them their need of Christ, who is able to save unto the uttermost. All that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Remember, parents, in their great responsibilities to bring the children up aright. Oh, what need of wisdom, what need of strength, what need of help, what need of discernment, what need of patience. Oh, Lord, in so many, many ways we need thy help. Oh, the day in which our lot has been cast is an evil day, a difficult day. Oh, the fiery darts of Satan, the ways of the world, the powerful temptations. Oh, Lord, that we each might be kept. Remember all in the midst of life, the many cares and burdens and responsibilities weighing down so heavy, so many matters to attend to, so many things to be done. Oh, so many cares of the world, which at times can so overfill our minds. Oh, what grace we need. Lord, to look to thee, to trust in thee, to wait upon thee, to cast all our care upon thee. Remember older friends also, in their declining years, as the mud-walled cottage shakes. Many afflictions, many weaknesses, many infirmities. Oh, bless them in their latter days. May it be well. So So Lord, remember each one present. Remember those who are absent, any laid aside in sickness or affliction, any in weakness. Remember any in lawful employment. Remember those away at this time. Lord, remember those needing care and attention. Bless this cause of truth. Bless the church. Help the officers of the church. Grant all needed grace and wisdom. Grant a godly increase here, both in church and in congregation. Lord, let thy work appear. O Lord, help thy servants who come from time to time. O may it be the Lord working with them, confirming his word with signs following. O may there be the power of the Spirit attending the word. Lord, what we pray for here, we pray for each cause of truth. Remember our own cause at Selvel and our younger friend ministering there this day. Oh, be with him in an especial way. Oh, Lord, do help him and bless the friends there. Now, Lord, help us as we return to thy word. Shine upon it, we beg, that we may see light in thy light. O Lord, we would be thankful for all thy mercies, the supply of our every need, for thy precious word. Come now, we pray, and forgive our every sin. We ask all for Jesus' sake alone. Amen.
Hymn 536. Behold, a scene of matchless grace, 'tis Jesus in the sinner's place. Heaven's brightest glory, sunk in shame, that rebels might adore his name. Hymn 536.
Thank you.
as the Lord may be pleased to grant his gracious help, I would direct your prayerful attention to the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 28 and from verse 5. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. Matthew chapter 28 from verse 5. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. Especially these words of the angel, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus. I wonder how many here this morning, this word in a general sense may be applied or may be applicable. How many have come to the house of God seeking Jesus? That is, seeking his presence, seeking his appearing, seeking to sit at his feet, to receive of his word, to hear his voice, seeking to know him, seeking to be found in him, seeking to be blessed by him, seeking the Lord while he may be found, calling upon him while he is near. Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. In way of introduction, we think of the words of the Lord Jesus in John 16 unto his disciples, And ye now therefore have sorrow. And why did they have sorrow then? Because he had told them that he would go away from them. They had been drawn, brought to love him, to follow him, to trust in him, to look to him. They had witnessed his wonderful miracles. They had seen his almighty power. They'd seen his pity, his compassion, his love, his tenderness, and so on. They had been so brought to love him. And now he speaks of going away from them for a little time, though he would comfort them with the promise of the Holy Ghost, the divine comforter, yet their hearts were troubled, their hearts were sad, because he had spoken of going away from them. Ye now therefore have sorrow. I see that in three ways. Firstly, as we have been speaking, just the thought of it. When the Lord Jesus spoke of going away from them, the very thought of it filled their hearts with sorrow. But then also, from the Garden of Gethsemane, when Judas and that band of soldiers and the Pharisees and the chief priests came and took Jesus away from them, and they all forsook him and fled. And those solemn scenes in the chief priest's house, the high priest's house, and also in the judgment hall, ye now therefore have sorrow. And especially at Calvary. Where they see their dear beloved Jesus hanging upon that cross, there dying. Ye now therefore have sorrow. And as we've read, in that dead body being taken down and laid in that tomb, ye now therefore have sorrow. I do not think we can fully comprehend the sorrow of the disciples when Jesus died. like those two upon the road to Emmaus, but we hoped that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. As if our hopes were dashed. As if our hopes had come to an end. That place of no hope. And ye now therefore have sorrow. What sorrow filled their hearts? We come back to this in a moment, but the third point concerning ye now therefore have sorrow, I believe speaks of the sorrows of the way. I wonder how many here this morning are cast down by the hardness of the way. And that may be seen in unanswered prayer, the Lord hiding his face. Or it may be seen in enduring hardness. It may be seen in Satan's assaults and temptations. Or it may be seen in feeling the plague of your own heart, those besetting sins, seeing that you cannot cease from sin. Or it may be seen in the ways of the world, the persecutions of the world, the difficult things that you have to pass through. Ye now therefore have sorrow. It may be seen in afflictions, in sicknesses, in weaknesses, in infirmities, in disappointments, in losses, in crosses, in bereavements and so on, that ye now therefore have sorrow. But in each way this word was applied, it doesn't end there. Remember that it doesn't end there. Ye now therefore have sorrow, and Jesus knows all about it. The Lord knows all about your sorrows. All that you are passing through, all that you are suffering, all the things which cast you down and burden you. And ye now therefore have sorrow. Jesus, the heavenly God of grace, knows every saint's peculiar case. What sorrows by their sins are borne, and how for sin they daily mourn. Ye now therefore have sorrow. But here is such a wonderful promise. But I will see you again. You see, the disciples lost sight of this promise. They saw one sight of it, their sorrows. But they lost the other sight, but I will see you again. All the sorrows so overwhelmed their hearts, they could not see how their sorrow could ever be turned into joy. But this way, and only this way, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and joy shall fill your hearts, and no man shall take that joy away from you. But I will see you again. In humble hopes of a fulfillment of that promise, a child of God will be found seeking Jesus. Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. Oh, what fear filled the hearts of his disciples at this time. What great fear came upon them that Jesus had been taken away from them, so horribly crucified upon that cross. Oh, they'd witnessed him. Most certainly the women, one disciple we read of is John. Whether others were there, we have to leave. They witnessed him suffering upon that cross. They witnessed him dying. And again, the dear women witnessed him being taken down from the cross by Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus also, and laid in that tomb. They'd also witnessed the Roman soldiers, no doubt, sealing that tomb and setting that watch, naturally speaking, making it impossible for that body to be taken away. But the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. And the Lord must fulfill his precious word. The Lord must fulfill every promise that he has given. You see, the Lord Jesus had said, "Ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again." So there must be that appearing, there must be that resurrection. Or whatever our unbelieving hearts may say, whatever the world may say, you see, whatever the world may do, cannot prevent the fulfillment of the precious promises of God, which are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. We read, didn't we? Man, oh wicked man, did all that he could. And here we see the unbelieving Jews, the Pharisees, the scribes, the elders, the religious people who hated the Lord Jesus, combining with the Roman authorities in their strength, in their power, to prevent a resurrection of the Lord Jesus. You see that uniting together between the religious world and the secular world, if I can put it that way, to prevent a word of God from being fulfilled, from being accomplished. But oh, the wonder of wonders. The Lord rises again from the dead. Vain the watch, the stone, the seal. Christ hath burst the gates of hell. But nothing could prevent him from rising again. Oh, nothing could prevent that stone from being rolled away. I think in another gospel account we read, when the women came to the tomb, they said, "Who shall roll us away the stone?" They had that great mountain before them, that great seeming impossibility. In a sense, they came most certainly in love, and they came in faith. A very, very weak faith, because they came expecting to see a dead corpse, a dead body. They came with their anointing balms. But you see, their love, they came, they ventured. All their love to him. But who shall roll us away the stone? I digress slightly, just as these thoughts come to mind. Perhaps there is one or another here this morning, and you have, as it were, a great stone before you, which you cannot move. In another metaphor, it might be said, it's like a great mountain standing before you, impregnable, unmovable, a mountain you cannot get over, a mountain you cannot get round, a mountain you cannot get through, and it's preventing you, and you're full of fears. Who shall roll us away the stone? Oh, what mountains often are found in the pathway of the Lord's dear people. But mountains there to prove the almighty power of God. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become as a plain. Before the heavenly Zerubbabel. Oh, I was so touched to think a few weeks ago in reading this chapter 28 of those two wonderful promises we mentioned in prayer. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, where are we found seeking the Lord Jesus? Surely at the throne of grace. Surely at that place where sinners were drawn nigh unto God. Surely at that place where the Lord has promised, and there will I meet with thee, there will I commune with thee, from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims of glory. Oh, surely, prefiguring the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the propitiation or mercy seat of our sins. We come unto God on high through the finished work and precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, pleading his blood, or pleading the atonement, pleading what he has done. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So surely there must be that seeking the Lord Jesus at the throne of grace. And whether your need be spiritual concerning your never dying soul, or whether it be providential concerning matters in this life, oh, remember these words. All power. What you need is what precedes it. And Jesus came and spake unto them. Oh, you need the Lord Jesus to come and speak these words into you. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Oh, the Lord grants unto his dear people that measure of faith. And those of you here who have that humble hope that you possess that faith in your heart, do you not often have to pray, Lord, increase my faith. Lord, increase my faith to believe. Increase my faith to trust. Increase my faith to look. Increase my faith to wait. Oh, increase my faith to hope only in God. Oh, increase my faith to be found looking unto Jesus, who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can either ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Dear friends, that must be the power of faith, the power of prayer, the power of Christ, the power of Almighty God. Yes, with heaven and earth at his command, he waits to answer prayer. Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus. What a wonderful thing if we are found this morning hour seeking Jesus. Not seeking to know about him, not seeking that academic or theological knowledge about him, not seeking to be very outwardly religious, but seeking to know him. To know my Jesus crucified by far excels all things beside. Oh, seeking to be found in him. And I believe those who are found truly from their heart seeking the Lord Jesus are found seeking him because the Lord has begun that work of grace within their hearts. Because the Lord will draw them unto himself in their felt need of him. Or because they need Christ. Christ formed in their hearts the hope of glory. Oh, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Yes, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. But oh, seeking him to know him, to know him as your Saviour, to know him as your Redeemer, to know him as the altogether lovely, the chiefest among 10,000. What is thy beloved compared to another beloved? Oh, dear friends, in seeking Christ, are we found seeking him as our all and in all, the one thing needful? Remember the words of the Lord Jesus spoken to Martha concerning Mary, but one thing is needful. And Mary have chosen that better part that shall not be taken from her. Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus. Oh, are we found seeking Jesus, believing in him? Oh, how often a seeking soul feels so much of their evil heart of unbelief, who fears to presume. Oh, who longs to believe, longs to lay hold of life by his death, longs to know his precious blood applied, oh, longs to be found clothed upon with that imputed robe of his righteousness, complete in him. Oh, and yet the fears, primarily the fear to presume. Oh, we see among so many carnal professors of religion, they call themselves Christians, they profess to love the Lord Jesus, but without sounding judgmental, it appears they know nothing of seeking him. Or they know nothing of that true exercise in their felt need of him to save them from their sins. What comfort can a Saviour bring to those who have never felt their woe? Remember the words spoken to Joseph and Mary before Christ was born, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The whole purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ coming down from heaven to this sin-cursed earth was to save his people from their sins. It was for their salvation. You see, they could not save themselves. As perhaps you are finding, myself I cannot save. Oh, you may be resting upon this, resting upon that, resting upon self-righteousness, resting upon works, resting upon merits, resting upon words or whatever. Perhaps even resting upon how much repentance you can bring forth, resting upon how much faith that you have, or resting upon even a form of religion, resting upon chapel attendance, resting upon reading the Bible. Of course, all are good and right. But how we need to be brought to that vital thing, that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour, our only hope for heaven. Fear not ye. Fear not ye. Oh, those fears. Oh, those many, many fears. You see, sin brings fear. And when I believe the Lord begins that work of grace in the hearts of his people, by and by, they will be brought to feel something of the plague of their own hearts, of their sins and the guilt of their sins. And as such, they will tremble before an holy God. Thou God seest me through and through. Thou seest me that I am a lost, guilty, ruined, hell-deserving sinner. Oh, thou seest me, that I have broken thy holy commandments, I have not obeyed thy law. Thou seest me that I am guilty, unclean, defiled, polluted. Thou, God, seest me just as I am. Oh, how the Lord teaches his people their need of salvation. And that cry goes forth from the heart. What must I do to be saved? Where must I go or whither flee to escape the wrath that's due to me? The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. And we are dying sinners, are we not? The day of our death ever approacheth. Yes, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after death, the judgment. Oh, do we not live in such a wicked, evil day and generation? And man, the world, will be saying this, will be saying that, will be saying the other. Satan with all his temptations and accusations. Oh, so many things the world would have us believe in, which are completely contrary and opposite to the holy word of God. But let God be true. Let God's word be true, and every man a liar. And when the Lord takes a sinner in hand, the Lord begins to teach that sinner, firstly, himself. The Lord shines the light of his truth into the heart, and what is revealed? The corruption. The wickedness, the deceits, the lies, the falsehoods, yea, the sins. And that soul is brought by and by to know himself to be a sinner, but in need of salvation. Oh, that cries of a lost soul, one feelingly lost. And yet that cry for salvation, that cry to be saved, and the dear blessed Spirit will lead that soul by and by to see their need of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is their only hope, their only plea, their only refuge. You see it in type in Noah's Ark, how the Lord forewarned Noah of that great flood which would come upon the earth, which would destroy all mankind. And not only did the Lord forewarn Noah of that flood, but instructed him in that right sense of what he must do to be saved. And that was to build that ark. Now that ark is a type of Christ. And by faith, there is that looking to him. There is that fleeing to him, or there is that viewing in him all our salvation, our only hope of salvation, our only hope of redemption. Or by faith, entering into the ark. Or by faith, being found in Christ, wherein salvation only is to be found. You see, Noah entered in by the word of God, and the Lord shut him in, and the door was shut. Or whenever we think of those words, we think of the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. They all had a profession of religion. Outwardly, they appeared to be seeking Christ. But inwardly, what a vast difference. Five possessed the oil of grace. Five lacked it. Five were taught their real need of Christ, to be ready, to be prepared, All five were foolish and cared not if they were ready or not. And when the cry went forth at midnight and the foolish were shown their foolishness in that they lacked that oil of grace, and the wise were shown their wisdom in possessing that oil of grace, and they entered in and the door was shut. Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus. Oh, you seek to be ready. You seek to be prepared. You seek to be found in him, but you have so many fears. Now, I know not, for it is not for the minister to apply the word, but thoughts come into our mind, and we humbly hope and trust these thoughts have come from the Lord. There may be one here this morning who has come, perhaps so full of doubts and fears. Oh, it's not just that, am I made a real Christian? But perhaps it's more, am I made a real seeker? Oh, is there anything real in my religion whatsoever? Have I really been taught to fear the Lord? Have I really been taught to seek him? What a wonderful word of comfort should the Lord apply it. Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus. You see, what a springing up of hope there must have been in the hearts of these dear women. Oh, they come in such sorrows, sadness, disappointment, grief, and distress. And yet they come. And what they expected to see, they did not see. They expected to see the the stone rolled over the door. Or they expected to see the Lord Jesus dead. But instead, what they do see is that guard of soldiers, perhaps whom they feared, now lying as dead men round about. What they do see is this angel sitting upon the stone of the door. And what they do see is an empty tomb. For he is not here. For he is risen from the dead. Fear not ye. Oh, I believe there are some here who have come into the house of God from time to time full of fears, full of sorrows, full of troubles, full of distresses, full of anxieties. And the Lord in his love and mercy has condescended, has come, has met with them, has blessed them, has revealed himself, made himself known. And what joy filled their hearts. Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus. Ah, ye seek to know his precious blood applied. Ye long for that sweet sense of blood-bought pardon. Oh, you long to know your sins forgiven. Or perhaps you see your sins as innumerable, so great, so wicked, so evil, so dreadful. You look at a great catalogue of all your sins, your besetting sins. How can it be possible for all my sins to be forgiven? The word of God declares, and the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, cleanseth us from all sin. What a beautiful type we have of Christ in the Passover lamb. That lamb which must be taken, that lamb without spot, without blemish, at Lamb perfect. And yet that Lamb which must be slain, or that Lamb which must be roasted with fire, prefiguring the almighty wrath of God falling upon Christ for the sins of his dear people. Divine justice fell upon him. But remember that blood of the Lamb must be taken, and it must be applied upon the doorposts and the door lintel. And remember, there we have another of the wonderful promises of God. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The angel of death would pass over the whole land of Egypt, and that included Goshen, where the children of Israel were. But where death had taken place, where her sacrifice, as it were, had been offered up, where blood had been shed, and where there was that proof by the application upon the doorpost and door lintel, the angel of death would pass over. There would be no death. So what we see here is the Lord God looking upon the blood. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. But what we also would see is the children of Israel, in faith, applying that blood, in faith, sheltering under it. That is really the word of God. Sheltering under the word of God, what he had promised. And oh, what a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus. The Father looking upon the Son, in whom he is well pleased. Oh, the poor, needy, trembling, guilty, defiled, polluted sinner, looking upon Christ as his only hope of salvation, who would be found by faith sheltering under the shadow of his wings, who would be found in him. Again, under the Old Testament dispensation, we have the cities of refuge. And how Christ is that city of refuge. How many here are found fleeing to that city? Give me Christ, or else I die. How many are found seeking to enter into him by living faith? Who would believe in him? Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus. Oh, we will only be found seeking Jesus if the Lord has taught us to seek him, if the Lord has taught us to flee to him, if the Lord has taught us to trust in him. Now, this may sound like high language. If the Lord has taught us to believe in him. Now, what I mean by that is to believe that he is able to save. To believe that his precious blood shed forth at Calvary cleanseth from all sin. Now, you sang that opening hymn, and in one sense the language was very high. Sweet assurance, but as our friend mentioned, there is that singing and praying in hope. And though perhaps you are unable to rise to the very language, was there not that prayer of hope, that longing, or that exercise, that burden, that you might be brought to sing even with that humble, sweet assurance to know your sins forgiven? For Jesus' sake. To know your peace with God. For Jesus' sake. Or to know that you are found accepted in the Beloved. Fear not ye, for I know that ye see Jesus, which was crucified. Oh, how the Lord draws his people unto himself, and he draws them unto his cross. Oh, he draws them that they might view that wondrous scene of matchless grace, of Jesus in the sinner's place. Oh, to fix their hopes upon him. Oh, again, to know my Jesus crucified, yea, to know him. Well, the Lord speaks further promises unto his dear people. And one of them is to seeking souls. And really it is very simple, very beautiful, very reassuring. Seek, and ye shall find. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. The Lord add his blessing. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Sayers will preach on Wednesday evening, and next Lord's Day, God willing, Mr. Jonathan Buss will preach and address the Sunday school in the afternoon and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. Let us close with hymn 998. Ye prisoners of hope, o'erwhelmed with grief, to Jesus look up for certain relief. There's no condemnation in Jesus the Lord, but strong consolation his grace does afford. Hymn 998.
Thank you.
And now, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.